but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm glad to be joined by the owner of Wrestle Island, Pete Blackham. How are you doing this evening, Peter?
Good, mate, good.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us this evening. So.
Oh, no problem at all.
So Peter's joined us to discuss their upcoming show, Wrestle Island, There's No Place Like Home, at Birkenhead Youth Club on the 9th of December. So before we get into the event, I just want to ask you a few questions about how you got into wrestling and about the history about the promotion.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a fan?
Oh, since I was about 8, I can't remember. My sister was going with the town. She was on Eurosport back then, so
And who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
I used to know it was like the heels. It was like Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
It was, for some reason, I liked Sergeant Slaughter and the feud with Hogan. It was always a, and then I got more into WCW, Ric Flair and those type of guys, so I was always a heel person.
Did you ever have any ambitions of becoming a wrestler yourself?
Oh, no, never. I used to be more wrestling figures. I used to, like, book them in matches and make events up and have a whole storybook full of different events I'd put on with fake crowds and all kinds and crowds going down. So I think it was always the promoting side that I liked to get into. So.
Yeah, so then you decided to start your own promotion. So how did that come about? So.
I was a chef for, like, 10, 15 years and I got bored of it. It was too much of hard work, probably 15 hours a day. So
wow.
I decided that's what I wanted to do, is put my money into running a wrestling company. But I had no experience in promotion, so we opened the shop, which sold wrestling and geek memorabilia.
Yeah.
And I put on wrestling meet and greets for about 2.5 years just to get that feeling to how to promote an event, how to post a flyer, get it all right, and to build a wrestling community in the community before I even started the show. So when we eventually did start, we could draw on that same fan base and that same list of people to try and fill up the crowd. So, and it kind of worked.
Yeah, we came to see your Carlito when he was
there. Yeah, we had quite a few people in there. It was quite surreal to have people like Hardcore Holly and Carlito and Tom Rabbit. Yeah, but it was a good time. It's not something that we've totally discounted doing still, but like with the way Brexit is at the moment, it's like the dollar to pound ratio is crazy to bring someone over. It's just, it's not the same as it was back then.
No. So your events have some fantastic names like Terror and Tilted Towers and Get Shafty and It's Everyday Bro and my personal favourite, Fantastic Beatings, and where to find them. So where does the taglines come up with? Who comes up with the taglines?
The Fantastic Beatings one was a fellow you used to work with us, Dave Anderson. He came up with that one, but the rest of them were just basically genres I like, but all the kids like, because Jacob, me 6-year-old, came up with Terror at Tilted Towers.
Yeah.
And the rest of them basically something that I just get inspiration from, something I enjoy. I want it to stand out, like the name Wrestle Island. I want it to stand out, not just be Mitchell's.
Yeah.
So people will remember the word. Cause you don't forget Wrestle Island, it's something that sticks in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's something like ACCW or something like that. There's so many initials going around. But same with the shows. I want people to like see the name of the show and it'd be so strange that they're not going to forget it, type thing.
Right, so take us back to your first show.
Yeah, that was, it was 2 years ago. It was like the 27th of November, so it was like a couple of days ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I had a little theatre. It was we'd done about 180 people, which was good for the first show.
Yeah, that's great.
The venue was a bit strange because it was only one side, the wrestling fans, and once you were in the ring, you couldn't see anything outside of the ring because the lights were so strong.
Wow.
So the venue was it was a strange venue to start off on, but as you know, there's not many venues in Birkenhead to run.
No.
So it's like, to really work around. So we used that, but it was a good venue, but like I say, it was hard for the interaction with the all out to what we wanted to become. So we had a lot of different there. We had T-Bone, Bubblegum, Lana Austin, all people who we like to use again, but we That was a different type of show. The first one, that was more just seeing we could do it, and then from the second show, I feel that's where we started to build.
Yeah. So when you decide, when you bring in big names, how do you decide who's going to wrestle them?
Basically, with the 70% of it, I have it booked out for a year in advance.
Yeah.
That's the main feud, and then I always try and spice it up with a couple of extra names thrown in there, so people who just come, like casual fans, can come for the extra names, and then some people want to go to the meet and greets and stuff like that. You've got the same guys every time, people have seen them, so I always try and bring in a few extra.
Yeah.
But I always, like, with Teddy, is he's like a really good wrestler. He was underrated in the country, so when Tanizaki was available, he was, that's the person I wanted to put him with, because I felt he could showcase his skills. So it's always who do you match up best with, that type of thing. It's always looking who's available and looking, like, what's the best thing to stick to him.
I was going to say, yeah, Terry, as it always seems to you guys, you put him against Damari and you've put him against... Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's trying to showcase what he's got, because
certain
guys in the country, you get a lot of breaks, and certain guys who are, like, as we've seen with NXT UK now, it's going to be a lot different. And with our roster, because I didn't use a hell of a lot there, I only used Legero and Amir Jordan, and Amir Jordan's still available to work for us next year, so it's just Legero we're going to lose out on.
Yeah.
Because we built our own roster, it kind of doesn't affect us, because we use guys who we found places, we scouted them, we brought them into Birkenhead, and we're trying to put our stuff behind them to try and build them as stars here. So now, when this hits, it doesn't really affect us that much.
So how do you decide on what's the ongoing story from show to show, and what's going to be contained stories within shows?
It's a hard process. Like, once maybe 6 months, we sit down on myself, basically, because I book everything. And starting next year, I'm going to bring a few people on board, because I feel like after 2 years, that just being my ideas may get stale. So, well, there's just no ideas out of me, just so it doesn't become... Because sometimes I feel in my head, and then thinking that I can't use that. I can't use another dusty finish. So it's like, next year I'm going to bring a couple of people on board to work on storylines and stuff with me. Because it's a hard process, because with Birkenhead, it's not, they don't want to see a five-star match between two guys trying to kill themselves. They'd rather see a good story, like Billy Norton and Mr. Williams.
That was a brilliant story.
That did better than anything, because they got really behind it. And the kids were crying when he thought Billy lost his career in the crowd. There was like about 12 kids crying, and
eyes open
with a dusty finish, and made them think that he was going to leave. So, yes, it's a lot about story, with you.
Yeah, but do you have a favourite story from the last 2 years?
Yeah, Billy and Sparks one was, Billy and Mr. Williams one was probably the best for me, because we brought them along. Sparks, Mr. Williams gave a lot of that to it. He was a big part behind it. He really helped, like, with Billy Norton, bring him on, because Billy was a nobody when he came to us, and now this kid's in one of my birthday parties.
It's brilliant, yeah.
They want him, the house, it's everything for them. Like, Billy's, like, the most asked for star we get, and a lot of that was, people don't realise that it's not just about the guy who it is, it's about the person who helps put him over, and Mr. Williams got him so loved by being so hateable that he helped Bill really along. And the rejected storyline I really liked as well, because we built that up before we even, like, started running shows. We had them invited in the shop and stuff like that. So, man, like, we done a thing, then people were generally believing it happened and, like, offering me support and everything. I felt bad again.
So about this time last year, you'd crowned Drew Parker as your first champion. How did you go about choosing the first champion?
It was, Drew was starting in the prospect division, and he just got so good that he was, I felt that he was the right person. Well, I'm at old school, where I think the person who holds the belt is the person who carries your company, and at the time I felt that was Drew. I've always felt it was Sean as well, but I didn't want to put it on Sean straight away, because it was so predictable to have the hometown guy win in the first big tournament. So I've always liked the heel champion as well.
I say, it's a classic wrestling booking, get a heel in and then get the hometown hero to win it off him. So.
Then he won the Rumble, so we had him, like, having to overcome obstacles to finally get to the belt, and once he won the Rumble, he finally won the belt, which, and then when he finally loses it, then he has to go on that journey again, so it's, or he could always turn heel. There's so many things you can do with people that stories are always open.
Yeah, it was a brilliant moment when he won the belt. It was great being in the room.
Yeah, yeah, it, it was. Did have a whole time because he's generally from Birkenhead. He lives in Leeds now, but he's generally from Birkenhead. It's not like a gimmick Birkenhead guy. Some people announce him everywhere else. Announce him from Liverpool, but he's actually from Birkenhead. So
yeah.
This was like the first hometown shows he's done, and it means a lot to him to like come out to his people. And he has his mum comes along as well, and there's other members of his family there. So it's like when Drew won the belt, his whole family were there. It's always been like a good family atmosphere at the show, so it's enjoyable.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, my whole family love it. So.
That's good.
This is Cameron Solis, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So I asked the official Wrestle Island fan Facebook group for some questions. Bit of a tongue twister. So we'll start with Graham Williams. He asks, will we see a trios tag titles or a women's belt in 2019?
There's two of them planned, that's all I'll say. There's two of the three of them planned.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be a women's title at some point. It's going to be part of something that's being built.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to happen, and there'll be either a trios or a tag team. That'll be announced soon, but as you can see where we're going with this, so you can kind of just what it's going to be. Because this is a triple trio match.
Yeah. So Ian Jones asks, your favourite island moment so far, and what can we expect in 2019?
Favourite moment would probably... It's hard, and for me it's little moments like the Nile that's watching him do so well, because I know how his confidence can be low at times, and watching him kill it in the ring and get the reactions he does, because he's a good friend, it's a really good moment that
yeah.
I enjoy, and when Sean won the belt and seeing that reaction to him, just... It's hard. On the day, I don't really enjoy anything. It's too much stressful. But
you look like you enjoyed the conga line. So. I've got a video of you.
I was scared the whole time that no one was going to get up to stand up. I had the idea, like I do with most of my ideas, about 4 in the morning the night before.
Yeah.
And then I told Sugar when he got there, and he was like, oh, yeah, man, yeah, that's the greatest idea ever. But I was dead scared that no one would get up, so I thought I'm going to have to like, go down to ringside myself and start dragging people off. So I'm not really a social person, so to be like conging around the ring wasn't me, but you got to do some things for your business.
probably about a third of the crowd got up and started doing it. So.
Yeah, I was quite happy. Ian got up and then a few others, so like, and then everyone started getting up, and once you get that few people, they'll all get up, but unless
yeah.
they do, everyone's too scared to go up, so I was like, thank God.
Be interesting whether Mike, because he was 12 then, and he's still a bit kid, but he's, over the last 8 months, he's turned into a moody teenager.
Yeah,
so I'd wonder whether he'll get up now if that happened.
So, yeah, I've got a moody teenager in the house, so I know what that is.
So Graham Fisher said, Peter, lots of new talent outside the new Northwest. Will we see some coming to the island?
Yeah, there's already plans to bring Alex Cooper, who's from outside the Northwest. He's going to come in next year. So
yeah.
A part of the prospect of the division, and there's so many people looking at it. That's what we always try and do, is give people chances, and some people will like carry on being there, some people won't, but the chance will always be there to come in, and all you can really do, I give them the canvas, they at the art, the crowd like the art, they stay on. If the crowd don't really, they don't stay on, so.
No. Stephen Daly asks, oh, you kind of mentioned this already, will there be any more ideas for Evening Withs type of events?
Yeah, there always is. It's just the financial situation with the dollar at the moment, it's like double the amount of what people used to be, and there is going to be ideas for some meetups with Wrestle Island talent, which this week something should be announced for next week. So
yeah.
We're going to try and do a thing just before this show, this anniversary show, with a meet up with some Wrestle Island talent in Birkenhead at a new shop or something. So that's being planned like over the last day or so. So I haven't really got the full details, but there should be a meet up next week that I'll just go to the Wrestle Island fan page and you'll see it in the next day or so.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the description to the fan page. Cool. Last one, Mr. Williams. Was asked, past or present, what's your fantasy match? I'm not sure he's talking just about Wrestle Island or any promotion.
I'll answer both anyway. it'll probably be Brock Lesnar versus Matt Riddle, which I'd love to see, because I just think it'd be so realistic, and I love those two wrestling. Plus, I'd like to see the Four Horsemen versus the MMA ones versus the WWE ones, because I love both the gimmicks. So
yeah, it looks like that.
At the island, I don't really, if I wanted, it was a dream match, I had the sticker on anyway, so I put in for him when I wanted to up to now, and then as we go on,
yeah,
as we build people, it'll be, that's what I'll be on, so it's not really a dream match scenario. Like Lucas Steele versus Sean Unleash should be really, really good. Lucas is he's only 22, and he's going to be in the WWE soon. He's got that look about him, he's a good wrestler, and if people should come and see him now, why they can, they're not paying £100 to go and see him in a couple of years.
This is the Bevwit, the Northern Bruiser Drill. You are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, you have a huge show coming up at Wrestle Island. There's No Place Like Home at the Birkenhead Youth Club on the 9th of December, which is headlined by, as you've mentioned, Sean Only, facing almost as it must be his toughest test so far in Lucas Steele. So Sean won the title from Drew Parker back in February, and he's been great defending it against Drill, and he was in the Fatal 4-Way the last show, and he's defended it in all of country promotions around the country. He must be happy with his reign so far. So.
Yeah, he defended it in, we had a charity show up in Ashfield, in Kirby, whatever that is, I don't know, that's a 3-hour drive, I don't know where we were, but he defended it there. He defended it in Rise in Leeds, he's defended it in Tidal in Leeds, he's defended it at This Is Wrestling in, well, it was in Skemmersdale, but they're moving to Romescape, but he defended it twice there, so he's really made a name for himself with the belt and become a fighting champion, so he's making the belt more than the belt making him, which is something I like to see.
And Steele's looked very impressive so far. He defeated Rob Sharp at the last show, and he won the Prospect Power Up briefcase, eliminating every competitor in a 7-man gauntlet. So this must be Sean's toughest test to date.
It's going to be. Everyone's seen Lucas, and the guy's a beast. And 7 people in his first match he beat, and then the last show he was dominant over Rob Sharp. So it's going to be a big test for Sean. And people, like in kayfabe wise, even Man is going to be a boss champion, so it could go either way, let's just say that.
I've seen him wrestle 3 times, and he's been very impressive every time I've seen him.
He can lead the company, he's going to be a star, so he's someone everyone needs to get on, because at 22, to be as good as he is, as big as he is, and he can talk, and he's got it all, so he's the next big star, in my opinion, in the country.
Yeah, so the rest of the card is pretty stacked out so far. So Jade is returning. He's got tough competition on the first match back from injury.
Drew Parker,
former champion.
Yeah, both of them coming back for the first time in a while. Jade had an injury, so we wanted to bring her back. She went to be back last show, but she still hadn't recovered. But she asked for the Drew Parker match, so we gave it to her. Everything she's done has been the hard way at the hour, and she won an hour in the Rumble in the last match, which people might have forgot because it was a while ago.
Yeah.
When she had the injury, but she went over an hour with some of the best talent in the country and nearly won the Rumble last time out. So this has really halted the progress at the hour, like the last 6 months of being out, but she's hoping to come back and really make a statement. But so's Drew, so and Drew can be very vicious at times, and Drew's not happy about losing the belt, and he's had some choice words in the past, so we'll have to see what happens there.
So the Island hasn't been afraid of intergender wrestling. Was that a conscious decision when you started the company? Is that something you wanted?
Yeah, it was just I don't have no problem. I know some people do have a problem with it, but I always think it's the way it's presented. We never present women as being like any kind of in danger by facing them, and we present them as athletes and on the same level as each other. If you were going and watching a movie, you're not worried because Black Widow's in a fight with men, and she's a well-trained person who can fight, and she's on the same level as them, so you're not worried that in that sense, and that's how I've always tried to present the women. There is a women's division as well, but there is a prospect division. They can all rise up to fight the heavyweights if they do good enough. We always said there was no weight limits and there was no gender limits. It was just whoever's the best will get the chances, and it's always been that way.
Yeah, brilliant. So next up, you've got NXT UK's Ligero locking horns with the Troublemaker, Terry Izzett. Could be a great match.
Yeah, that could be one of Ligero's last independent matches as well.
Wow.
So, because he won't be here next year, so this is going to be a send-off for Ligero from the Island. Whereas Amir Jordan will be around next year, Ligero, under contractual reasons, won't be here. So it's a good chance for him to say goodbye to fans and for Terry to kind of show that he's on that level and he should be on one of those deals.
So the next three matches all involved members of the Rejected who ran havoc at the last match. Is there any plans to punish them? Or?
Well, this I can reveal something now that Demon Eye has been causing havoc at the island a lot, and with him being the leader of the island, we finally wanted to give Big Gino a chance in the tables match versus him. So I can say now that all of the Rejected during that match will be banned from ringside. So
wow.
He's going to have to go there alone, and at the same thing for the Rejected match in the freeway, Alexis and Demon Eye will be banned from ringside, and Alexis's match, the rest of the Rejected will be banned from ringside, so all of them will have to go out alone and stop with the gang warfare type thing, so that's an announcement we can make.
Yeah, so just to go through their matches, so you got in, is it the mayor of Slamville? I can't remember, Slamville, was it? So it's in Chopville, sorry.
Yeah, Chopville. Yeah, he's so, got a mean chop on him. I don't want to take it.
Gino Ramsey, so he finally gets hand on Demon Eye after that's probably a year of torments in a tables match.
Yeah, tables match. So first one to go through the table loses.
Is this the first table match in island history?
So first time I've done it, and hopefully I can find some good tables. Not those crappy wallpaper paste things that you're always seeing shows in this country.
Yeah.
So I'm hunting for tables this week where I'm going to make my own. So, yeah, that's a journey for me.
And then you got a women's title match. So you're gonna have a triple threat first, and then immediately Queen Lucy's going to come out to defend the title.
Yeah, Queen Lucy only agreed to defend it as long as they had the match right before. So she'll defend it against the winner of Alexis, Natalie Wild, and
Jessica Light.
Yeah, Jessica Light. I said no, I booked it myself. But yeah, so the winner of that one will go straight on to fight Lucy for the Queen of the Island trophy, crown, whatever the thing is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Jessica Light. I've heard some good things about her. So.
Yeah, she's really, really. I've seen her at the drill show, This Is Wrestling, and I've seen her a few other times, and she's really impressed. So we thought it was about time we gave her a chance at the Island.
And the final match announced so far, we have a triple trios match. So Paradox and Ray Lloyd, who were very impressive at the last match, last show.
So then he gave me a heart attack with a dive up the bloody thing. I was standing outside talking to someone about something, and I just heard the crowd reaction, and I honestly thought something had gone wrong, because it wasn't really a pop, it was more of a gasp, like the air, like a big loud noise, and then the air taking out the ring and the room, so I just ran in thinking something had gone wrong, and realised he dived off the balcony, so I was like...
That was amazing.
It was the strangest noise I'd ever heard, like at the shows, like it was... A pop, but a fear. So I think people really got into the fact that he was dead.
So there they're against Addicted to Adrenaline, Harrison Bourne and Jay Lando. I've not seen Jay Lando.
Yeah, Joe Lando. Lando. They've been teaming up and down the country as Addicted to Adrenaline. So we're looking for more trios, and with them, they've teamed with Joe Nelson, who's going to be their other partner in the past. So we thought we'd give them a chance.
And then we have Henry T. Gord teaming with the other members of the Rejected. So,
Henry's put out a promo as well where he's revealed why he's teaming up, and that's to get at Joe Nelson. He's not got no interest in being with the Rejected. He just wants to get at Joe, who's
It's a very creepy video. It's just like you've put a wall of humanity in between him and his prey, Joe Nelson. So.
Yeah, very strange. But he's a very dark character, he's got a big future in the island in the next year or so, because he's... From his first match to now, I can really feel the character developing and starting to get over. So, and his promos are really good, so I'm enjoying that.
So, on your Facebook page, you've also announced fan favourite Sugar Dunkerton and Rob Shaw. Do you have matches for them so far?
Yeah, well, I can reveal one of them. Rob's not in this match, he's in the one that's going to reveal this week. But the other match is we can reveal is a tag team match, which is going to be Sugar Dunkerton and Matthew Brooks,
wow.
The King of Mania. Teaming up. They teamed up with Amir last time, but they'll be just teaming up themselves versus Big Joe, the henchman, and Big Joe and Drill. So, that's going to be a good one, because there's been a lot of history before all four men. Originally, when Matthew Brooks came into the island, it was to face Drill, and Matthew embarrassed him during his promo, so there's still history from those two because of that, and then there's the history between Big Joe and Matthew Brooks, and then put sugar in there, and you got a compostable mix.
Yeah, and Big Joe and Drill team are quite regularly, so they're...
Yeah, they used to be in a team in GPW called... I forgot what they're called. called, but they were the Bad Lads. That was Bad Lads. Bad Lads. So we used to have third partner as well. So they're used to teaming. And Sugar Dunkerton and Matthew Brooks have teamed at PCW as well. So they're both used to teaming, both teams. So they were Dunkermania at PCW, if you call.
Yeah,
so they've both been teaming before. So they are basically tag teams. So it should be a good match. And that's not being announced yet. So the graphic for that won't be out till tomorrow. So. An exclusive to
Brilliant.
This wonderful podcast.
So links for tickets to the show and info about the show will be in the description page below this. So
yeah, and make sure you go and give the Facebook page a like and all that jazz.
Yeah, so before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
Yeah, just search Wrestle Island, you'll find it. It's on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, but you search Wrestle Island, there's not many other places that got a similar name, so you'll just find it straight away usually. So just search Wrestle Island on Google in one of the social medias and you'll find us. And yeah, the show's on December the 9th. Come down, it's a fun day. Chris can tell you he comes himself. And
it's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a...
I've only missed one.
It's a good show. It's not going to be 10-star matches. It's going to be a fun afternoon of family-friendly wrestling. You can bring your nan, you can bring your kids, you can bring everyone. It's just, we have fun, the community's good there, everyone gets on and it's just a good atmosphere around good people, so the way wrestling should be.
Mm. I'd say my three-year-old loves it, my 13-year-old loves it.
Yeah, and then you love it, so it's all the ages.
Right, so I'll put the links to everything in the description below this interview, so I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, you too, Matt. I'll come on before the next show as well, and we'll get a couple of the guys on as well with me, so we'll sort that out.
Yeah, and good luck with There's No Place Like Home.
And when you've got Alexis on, make sure you tell her that mine's going to get more hits than hers because I'm more over.
Yeah, we've got Alexis Falcon on Friday. So.
Yeah, that should be good.
It's going to be a brilliant.
She is, brother.